I think it's 5 minutes past, so let's make a start if we can. Christina, can we have a call of who's present and who's apologised?
Sure. On the call we have Keith Davidson, Nigel Roberts, Eberhard Lisser, Kim Davies, Bernie Turcotte, Yangham Lee, Bart Boswinkel, Susanne Sam, Dottie Sparks DeBlanc, Catherine Reynolds, and Christina Nordstrom. And apologies from Jaap Akkerhuis, Martin Boyle, and Patricio Poblete.
Okay. No one else on the call? No other apologies? If not, we'll accept that.
I thought Desiree made her apologies as well.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay, we've got quite a busy agenda ahead of us tonight, or today, or this morning. I guess there's been no comments on the agenda on the list, so I'll take it as read that the agenda's confirmed. Can we look at item 3 on the agenda, the confirmation of the last meeting record? Bernie, do you want to just talk us through the important points that came up on that call?
Yes, sir. Just as a general strategy, I did not try to make this a transcript of the conversation, but just captured the general trend. So basically, we confirmed the agenda, we accepted the BAS meeting report, final report on retirement, and we noted after a discussion that the way to approve this is by consensus, and Bill Semich did send in an email to the group saying he approved that version of the report, which was circulated. 5, draft delegation report and discussion. This was our third round on this. And basically, I simply said that detailed and lengthy discussion of possible recommendations between PDP and a dual approach of interpretation framework followed by a PDP if necessary. A number of arguments were made for both. Generally agreed that the document should include a dual approach recommendation and should be resubmitted to the group for another review. That was done. The document has been circulated. Redelegation report, second round. At this point, there's only 15 minutes left. Scheduled time in the call. Chair asked BT to briefly run through the report. L noted his objections, so I thought it was important to note that, and the conclusion was the same as the previous one, and that document's been adjusted and circulated also. And we have confirmation of meetings, which is this, which basically we've got 2 left, this one and the one next week. And that's about it. I'll be glad to take corrections, questions, or comments. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Bernie. I guess unless I hear dissent or comments, we'll accept the report as it stands.
Hello, Becky here.
Yes, Becky. You've just made the call. Okay, moving along we have the delegations report, report number 4. If we could put that up, please, Christina.
Is Christina on the call?
Yes.
Yes, I'm sorry, I was trying to find it. Is this the right one?
The delegation report. Yep, thank you, Christina. I think for this report, there were some amendments here and there as per the discussions last week, but perhaps, Bernie, if you want to talk us through it, but perhaps concentrate on the recommendation and the wording of the recommendation, because I think that's really the only issue that was under substantial discussion last time, unless people have any comments on the way through.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We've got the document up on the screen. I did some editing just so it matched the other documents, but there is no substantive change in sections 1, 2, or 3. The significant changes are really in section 4, the recommendation as discussed, and so I will not bother going through it given that I do not believe there are any changes of any meaningful significance in these other areas apart from minor edits. And you will please be patient with me in that the only way I have to get to Section 4 is to do this, which is if you're on Adobe Connect, you're seeing me scroll through this painfully and slowly, but such is life. Four. There we go. So four should be up on your screen, the recommendation. So what we've tried to do here is capture the essence of the discussions on last week's call and put something together that tried to reflect all or most of the discussions that we had. And I'm going to read it through just to make sure everyone gets a sense of what we're doing, especially given it's not too long, as you will see. It's only about 3/4 of a page. The DRDWG have conducted research on the ICANN decisions relating to delegations and redelegations of ccTLDs and believe the research highlights decisions made that contain elements of inconsistent application of policies, guidelines, and procedures, and on occasion that ICANN decisions have been based on criteria not included in the relevant policies, guidelines, and procedures. These decisions of the ICANN board should be logical and predictable. Although elements of this report support a recommendation for the CCNSO to undertake a PDP, this working group notes the considerable time requirement to develop a PDP, along with the urgent need to provide clarification of various issues and procedures within ICANN, and therefore, for reasons of expediency, efficiency, effectiveness, and flexibility, recommends a two-step process to the CCNSO Council. The DRDWG recommends that, as a first step, the CCNSO Council undertake the development of a framework of interpretation for the delegation of ccTLDs. This framework should provide a clear guide to IANA and the ICANN board on interpretations of the current policies, guidelines, and procedures relating to the delegations of ccTLDs. The results of the use of such a framework of interpretation should be formally monitored and evaluated by the CCNSO Council after a predetermined period. If the results of this evaluation indicate that the framework of interpretation failed to provide logical and predictable outcomes in ICANN decision-making, the CCNSO Council should then launch a PDP on the delegation of ccTLDs. Full stop. So this is a major addition to this report, and I'll throw it back to the chair for monitoring and managing the discussion.
Okay, I think that's an attempt to try and capture the essence of all of the discussions to date, and probably is a slightly compromised solution to try and accommodate everybody's desires. But let's open the floor up for discussion. How are people feeling about this as being a reasonable recommendation? Nigel, right? Yes, Nigel.
Unmute.
Yes, you're unmuted.
Marvellous. For the benefit of those not on the Adobe Connect, I welcome recommendation 4, where I think Bernie is managing to square the circle with greater bloom.
Excellent.
Can I just make a comment, which
sure.
is the other comment I made earlier on in the... I welcome also the improvement in the phraseology to use the terms uncontested and complex. I see a little bit of diplomacy here, but I think it's important that we identify that the difference is with consent and without.
And you don't feel that consented, uncontested implies consent, and complex might imply a lack of consent on some.
Well, with at the risk of annoying Eberhardt, given his acerbic comment in relation to Martin's mildly unintelligible email of yesterday. No, I don't, because I think uncontested has implications to me as a native British English speaker of abstaining and not caring. But that's just me.
Yeah, I think we did talk a little bit about the concept of using consent, and the we ran into the same problem as approved with consent or consented delegations, that somehow someone's delivering a consent rather than the current holder approving or...
Yeah, but that is entirely the point. My point, and if it wasn't clear, I apologise. My point about the use of the word approved was not that I disliked the word approved. It's the word approved did not say who had given approval, whether it was approval by the existing incumbent or admin contact or approval by the ICANN board or whoever, whereas consent means consent of the person handing the thing over.
I think whichever words we use, we'll run into problems. Do you think you could live with it, Nigel, the way it is?
I think I've made my point, and I think the correct thing that we need to identify is those circumstances that were with the consent of the existing operator and those that were not. But I'm not going to die in a ditch.
Okay, thanks. Nigel Eberhardt has...
Please don't do that.
Eberhardt has his hand up.
Thank you. Don't die in a ditch. It's raining and you drown even. By the way, I don't really like complex because it says really nothing. It's probably just a placeholder for us to decide what we use. Consent is, as far as I'm concerned, the best word. Not only because I am professionally very familiar with consent and informed consent and duress and consent under duress and things like that. For example, I find it really amusing, or rather not amusing, on the redelegation paper that we see later, that in Iraq, the U.S. government arrested somebody, and then in Ayala proceedings, it said we can't, or in this redelegation proceedings, it said we can't reach him because he's in jail on terrorist charges. Not really what I would like to see. So I would think we should say something on the redelegation thing with the consent of the current manager, or without the consent of the current manager. Because consent implies we don't really have to look into what is voluntary consent and things, but it implies this. We must, or whether we call it approved or consent or whatever, but complex is, as far as I'm concerned, just a placeholder.
Okay. We do need to resolve the issue, but I think back to the main point of the recommendation. Has everyone quite...
Yes, I can list the recommendations. I'm voting for them.
Excellent. Okay. Any further discussion then? In that case, could we, other than the word uncontested or consensual or consented...
No, without consent of the current manager, is that reflects the state of affairs best, I think.
So you're suggesting the reports should be called delegations with the consent of the incumbent, or redelegations without consent of the incumbent. Is that what you're suggesting, Everhart?
Something like that, yes.
Okay.
Because that's in fact what it is. If the current manager gives consent to the redelegation, or then that's it. That's what we actually want for. We ask him, permission or whatever. We ask him, have you got any objections to the redelegation? Oh, and then he said, no, I have no problems. In the end, it means he consents to it. I'm not a lawyer, but we have got so many lawyers on the group, maybe we can come up with a proper word for that.
Yeah, I think one of the problems I had looking at using the word consent was inevitably ending up with the word non-consensual, and I think, as Nigel said, that has more a connotation about things like sexual acts rather than what we're trying to achieve here. Would anyone object so strenuously that you wouldn't approve the document on the basis of using the uncontested and complex terminology?
Keith?
Yes?
I'm unsure why we're talking about this in the delegation report. I don't think it has anything. We don't even mention it in the delegation report.
Well, I think the issue's come up, and
well, it's sensible for the redelegation report and what Eberhard has labeled as the placeholder we call complex redelegations, but I thought we were trying to deal with the reports one apiece and then moving on to the next one.
Yeah, this is Becky. I'm a little confused about how a delegation raises the issue of whether the current, an administrator has agreed to it or not.
Yeah. These are all new delegations.
No, I think Nigel was just making the point while he had the floor. I think let's deal with the delegations report, and we'll undoubtedly come back to this issue when we start reading the uncontested redelegation report. And so we have the recommendation. I think everyone's quite clear now on what we're seeking to achieve as an outcome, that the CCNSO Council be asked to provide a framework of interpretation and test that, and if it doesn't work, then to suggest that a PDP would be in order. So returning from the recommendation to the substantial document, is there anyone who would object to the delegation's report in its current form?
I suggest that now that we're all in agreement, that you also circulate this again on the mailing list so that everybody who wasn't there can formally object if there is any.
Sure, but I'd like this meeting to give its first approval.
Yeah, sure. That's what I'm saying. I think we're in agreement, but maybe you're right. The participants had consensus. Is there anybody else on the mailing list who has gotten issues so that we can say we have done the due diligence on that?
Yeah, well, I think we can do that immediately after this meeting with any amendments that we make to any of the documents and put them to the list, including the retirement document, for a final typo check, final check for anyone's objections and so on. But if it is the feeling of the meeting of those present that this report be adopted in its current form, I'd be very pleased. So I'm not hearing any objections. Should we have a formal mover as we did with the retirement report, or did we decide that wasn't necessary and just agree by consensus to accept this as the final delegation report? We'll do that then. Okay, moving along. Can we then move to the uncontested redelegation report, Report 5?
Can I, in the meantime, present Bill Semich's apologies? His meeting is running late. He sent an email to the list.
Okay, thank you. Christina, can we note Bill Semich's apologies also?
Yes.
Okay, and the report's now up on Adobe Connect. So, Bernie, do you want to talk us through this report?
Yes, sir. Thank you. This report changed a bit. There are some changes to ensure. Well, there are two things. I adjusted the format to make sure it looked like the delegations report, and in going over it one last time, I noticed that I had skipped a few things that upon having written all the other documents and looking at it, I thought I should put in. So I will walk you through that. So basically, as part of the technical changes, which I don't think affect the status of the document as such, we've gone to the format of 1.1 and 1.2 just being facts without any comments and highlighted wherever that is reasonable to do or useful for the reader.
Bernie, could I just interrupt for a moment? Eberhard has his hand up.
Yes, are we talking uncontested, unapproved, or what are we talking? Which one are we talking about now? Unapproved is of the complex. I thought we were speaking now first about the one that were with consent. This is of what we're talking. What you have on the screen is without consent of the incumbent. Eh?
Yeah.
That is correct. I think we got the wrong document. Good catch, Eberhard. They start off the same, so I didn't notice. This would be Christina. We're trying to use the latest version of that document. I will give you the name in 1 second since I've tried to update those.
I think it's document.
They've called it Uncontested Redelegation Final Report V04.
Yeah. I think it's Report 3.
Yeah, I have it.
There we go.
Ah, yeah, okay. That makes
well spotted, Eberhard, and thanks, Benny.
I'm paying attention, you guys.
You really are, thank you. And what we've got here is a little bit of a definition to help us along because we've got to deal with the other stuff on redelegations after. So what I've tried to cobble together for a definition is on the uncontested redelegation of CCTLD. The CCTLD is operating satisfactorily. There is a valid manager and a valid active administrative contact. The administrative contact supports the redelegation request. There is no competing redelegation request that is submitted to ICANN while the initial request is being processed. So I'm trying to sort of draw a line around what this one is going to look at, which is the simple cases. And as Eberhard has said, basically there is a manager, the thing is running properly, and he's agreeing that there should be a transfer. Now, whether that should be called uncontested redelegations, you know, I've even got interrogations about that, but it's the best I could come up with up until now, and I will be glad if we can reach consensus on anything regarding the title of this document. Okay, as I was saying, what I've done here, there have been, the comments are the same. I've plowed it into the same format as the new version of the delegations document. Section 1 is only facts and no comments, highlighted wherever that is useful. So as we start, we've got the usual RFC 1591, ICP 1, News Memo 1, GAC Principles 2005, Understanding Delegation and Redelegation Procedures from the IANA website. And this is one of the changes that has occurred in this document, is I noticed I was really, we hadn't paid enough attention to showing requesters the local interests and local internet community support. So, and the whole issue of government support. So those are the two main themes that have been added to this document and studied, and the issues brought out regarding. All the rest of the document's exactly the same. Sponsorship agreement, September 25th, 2000, no longer allowing individuals, September 2001. .kz redelegation is in the definition section because that's where we stopped requiring sponsorship agreements, it seems. .co redelegation, risks to the stability and security of the Internet, now a factor in redelegations. Then we have the April 2010 approval of IDNC PLD. The ICANN board is asking the CNSO to look into the definition of local community support, which takes us to 1.2, which looks at the specific cases of redelegation uncontested art of interest. There's Libya, where there was sort of a two-step where there's really originally in June 2004 simply a board decision to really just provide this provisional redelegation. There's no IANA report. There are no minutes. There's just a recording of the decision. And then all of a sudden, in October, we've got an IANA report and everything else. So really hard to understand what caused this and what went on, because there's absolutely no official documentation that's public. However, the point is, there is no basis for granting a provisional redelegation. The .gd redelegation, where there was an issue about local community support, and then we've got the BB redelegation, where there were some questions around the technical qualifications of the applicant. The .AE redelegation, where there was questions about local community support, to the point where Jean-Jacques Soublena posted his feelings and asked that they be added to the board minutes questioning this whole area. And I think that's part of the stuff that finally led to the board asking the CCNSO to figure out what to do with this. The .by redelegation, February 2009. There is a sort of a weirdness in the IANA report about community sentiment letters of support for the delegation were received from three different organizations that purport to represent community interests, and it's sort of left at that, which is sort of weird, because when you've actually read all of these things many times, as I have now, I mean, in certain cases, IANA is beating down the doors in the local country and making sure that the local community is supporting this, blah, 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 and all sorts of weird activities. And then all of a sudden we just get this and it seems to be accepted at face value. So certainly inconsistency at the very least. The next point, which is a problem here, is, of course, the information contained in the discussion regarding the redelegation was held in a private session of the board. This is the only thing that's in the minutes of the board apart from the resolution, which is inconsistent with the bylaws. .ng redelegation, no record of board discussion in the minutes, which is inconsistent with expected standards. .co redelegation, the request is deemed uncontested. There is no other documentation which argues that point, although some people from Colombia have come up to us and said that that's not the case, but there is no documentation. What is weird is that this is probably the lengthiest IANA report on record for any redelegation. I think it's like 20 pages, which is highly exceptional, about triple the value of what usually is an IANA report. And there are no minutes of a board discussion. There's not even a mention that it was held in private. There's simply a decision, which, I mean, to me seems highly unlikely if you've got a 20 or 30 page IANA report that the board just votes on it. So, again, some weirdness there. Section 2 just takes on the analysis of all those points. We've talked about it.
Just before you go on with that, Bernie, Nigel's had his hand up for a little while, so probably has a question on this earlier part of the report. Nigel?
Yeah, thank you, Keith. Can we go right back to the top, please? There's something I spotted there.
Yes, sir. Do you have a number, just so I go to the right point?
1.0.
Yes, that is the very top. Okay.
Well, I don't know if there is a 1.0. You asked for a number, so I gave you one.
Close enough.
And yes, I have.
Maybe it's quicker if Christina loads the report fresh.
Yeah, maybe, but we're almost there. My finger is scrolling along.
I'll tell you what it is, what you're throwing. It's the definition of this kind of change of manager.
There we go.
Okay. It is actually 1. In fact, it's before 1.
Yes.
Okay. So let me just go through it. A redelegation with consent, as I'm going to say, is defined for the purposes of this report as... Point one, the CCTLD is operating satisfactory. There is a valid manager and a valid and active administrative contact. The administrative contact supports it, and so on and so on. The point I'm going to make is that really we have had historically quite some uncertainty as to the purpose and powers of administrative contact. Some redelegation requests have given great weight to the desires of the administrative contact, and others perhaps have given less. But be that as it may, we're trying to split this into two halves. We're trying to look at those that fit into this box, and we're defining this box extremely tightly and saying everything else fits into the other box, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, Bernie?
That's about what I tried to do, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that approach. Now, the issue that I'm dealing with on bullet point 3 is that really it's the consent of the incumbent, as Eberhardt pronounces it, the sponsoring organization, the CCTLD manager, in RFC 920 terms, the registrant. And that's not mentioned in this definition. So in order to proceed with what you want to do, Bernie, what I'm going to make is make a suggestion.
Yes.
That bullet point 3, you say that neither the administrative contact nor the whatever you want to call it, sponsoring organization, CCTLD manager, registrant, object to the redelegation request. So you include them both. And a negative.
So no objection?
No, you know what? I can't go with that. And I'll tell you why. Because in the complex redelegation, we're taking on the cases where the incumbent is not saying anything. And that's part of it. So... here.
In that case, you have to use and make it conjunctive. You would say both the administrative contact and the CCTLD manager have signified their consent to the redelegation request.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with saying it that way on this.
Yeah, Bernie, the point is not which way around you say it. The point is that you're only saying admin contact, and I think it's admin contact and CCTLD manager.
Yeah, I don't have a problem.
something like the incumbent operator supports the redelegation request.
Covers both sins, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and no, it cannot be. The operator can be a subcontracted party operating the register. It must be the it must be the organization or entity that is the
listed in the IANA database.
The CCTLD manager seems to be the.
That is it. I'm not so much concerned about this now. As long as we say in this document these are the uncontroversial things, there is no problems with these things. Nobody has had objections. That was an evolution where everybody wanted this evolution, and there was no objection received from anyone. As long as those cases are here, I have no objection to whatever is written there.
Okay, I think though, for the purposes of clarity, it wouldn't hurt to be a bit more. Specific. So I think Nigel's suggestion was that, or I think in summarising, if we had the CCTLD manager and administrative contact supports the redelegation request.
I would even go so far as to use the expression outgoing CCTLD manager.
Okay.
No, don't do that. Don't make it complicated. We say in the second bullet point there is a valid manager and a valid and administrative contact, and I would say the manager and administrative contact support the redelegation request.
Yeah,
that
right.
Covers it nicely.
Keith.
Yes.
Keith.
Vicky.
Yes.
No.
I would like a clarification on that, please.
Sure.
Because there is a CCTV manager and there is the administrative contact, and then there is also the supporting organization, which may or may not be the same.
Well, I think the name supporting organization was a replacement term by IANA to replace CCTLD manager or delegated manager as per the... words included in RFC 1591. So manager and sponsoring organisation, I think, can be used seamlessly, and I'd ask Kim to confirm that.
Okay.
Yeah, the community has never accepted the use of sponsoring organisation. That was, I think, introduced in the terms of the contractual relationships that I can want it.
We're not selling soap.
Sorry?
We are not selling soap.
Yeah, I think we've known.
The most common usage for the entity that we're talking about is, I think, the word that he uses here in the second paragraph, valid manager. We can just use that word, I think.
Yeah,
okay.
I agree.
Okay.
Kim, can I just ask you to confirm that delegated manager and sponsoring organisation means the same thing to IANA?
Absolutely it does. They're interchangeable from our perspective. If the sponsoring organisation or the manager, whichever you call it, wishes to delegate certain aspects of operation to another party, that's their business, but it's not something that we get involved with.
Thanks, Kim.
Keith?
Yes.
This is Bernie. This whole terminology point, I believe, was issue 3.7 in the delegation report, saying that we need to clean that up. But I think we've got the flavor of that, and I can fix that without any issues, and I don't have any problems with that.
Well, I think that everyone is feeling that the valid manager and administrative contact supports the redelegation request as being 4.3, that would satisfy everybody.
Done.
I don't need the word valid in the second when we mention it the second time. But the point is, I want it on the second line. It says there is a valid manager. So the third line, we don't need to write valid manager again. We just use the word manager.
Correct.
If we leave it there, it's absolutely clear to everyone. Anyway, it's a fairly trivial point, I think. So can we move along? And we're on to Section 2, I think. Are we?
If there are questions on Section 1, I'll take them now while I'm doing the endless scrolling thing.
Okay.
Can you go stop while you're endlessly drilling to with .ng, please?
Ah, yes. 2.3, I believe.
If I'm not mistaken, the delegation for .ng was stopped because the incumbent had died again. Or what was the reason for that?
Two, three.
If the incumbents managed to die again, that's very impressive.
The guy was dead about 5 years ago. This guy died last year again.
Different person. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, and both times natural causes.
We should perhaps have a section on resurrection of a ccTLD manager.
Oh, good. That could be controversial, though.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yes.
Is that for .jc?
Okay.
Very good.
But doesn't the Vatican have a ccTLD? They should be able to provide input on next tech day.
Yes.
All right, so I've got 121LY, I've got 122GD, 123B.
What does GD stand for?
124AE.
What was it GD?
What does JD stand for?
GD is Granada.
BY.
Okay.
NG. I don't think I have GD here.
No, it was up, but it's okay. I just wanted to know what I have read it. I just wanted to know what it stands for.
Oh, I think it's in the next report, which is a complex one.
No, GD is... I saw GD flashing by. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, if I find it, I'll into it. Okay, section two. As I said, the analysis... up to the previous things was seen relative to RFC 1591, Memo 1, ICP 1, and in GAC principles, understanding, delegation, redelegation, we talk about sponsorship agreements is the standard stuff, no longer allowing individuals the standard stuff. .kz, no longer requiring sponsorship agreements, standard. .co, redelegation, standard. Approval of IDN CCTLDs, asking us to look into community support. And then we get into section 2.2, where we look at the various things. Separately, the .libyan thing, we talked about .gd. That's what you were talking about, Abraham? .bb, the technical thing, .ae, the community support thing, .by, no reason for not giving the board minutes, .ng, no recording board discussions, .co, redelegation, no minutes again. So we go into the issues. And, yeah, I'll clear up the .gd thing, Eberhard, sorry. Sometimes I get confused when I work on a lot of documents at the same time. So any questions on section 2? Okay.
No one has their hand up at the moment.
Pardon me?
Nobody has their hand up at the moment.
Okay, so section 3, where we've changed things around a bit to match up to the recommendation, but there's nothing massively different. 3.1, fair and consistent application of bylaws applying to the minutes of the board meeting. As we've seen and we demonstrate with the available documentation, there are certainly some gaps there. 3.2, failure to consistently follow established policy development process and procedures prior to the CCNSO, which is the sponsorship agreement, and not allowing not allowing individuals. And then after the CCNSO, we've got a KZ decision, which doesn't require sponsorship agreements anymore, and .co's decision, which is an expansion of security. Section 3.3, following on the discussion from last week and some of Eberhard's good points, lack of predictability in the application of current rules and procedures to the delegation of ccTLDs, the redelegation of ccTLDs. IANA access to the zone file is still on the books, no longer applied. Sponsorship agreements still on the books, no longer applied. Government support and local internet community support. The rules have changed, but there is a high degree of variability in the application. Applicability of ICP1 is the standard stuff, and we talk about some of the same things again. 3.5, there's no publicly documented process or procedure for updating the IANA process or procedures that apply to ccTLDs. Documentation has also demonstrated there can be significant changes to these, such as dropping the requirement for sponsorship agreements without any consultation or notice. We've got some of the points there, and we basically the issue is IANA should publish a process, which are at issue in this section. Current manager approving redelegation request is a question of consent in 3.6. IANA must receive communications from both the old organization and the new organization. So basically what I've got here is what I could find in the documentation which creates consent or is qualified as consent. So I've got RFC 1591, I've got ICP1, must receive communication from both the old organization and the new organization. Understanding the delegation and redelegation from the IANA documentation. Once IANA has completed verification and analysis of the materials supplied in the request, it then requests confirmation of the redelegation from the current administrative and technical contacts, which is where the wording has changed. In practice, consent is usually achieved by the administrative and technical contacts replying to an email from IANA. The issues is this really good enough these days? Significant.
Eberhard has a question, and it's around about 3.6.1.1, I think. Eberhard.
There's a typing error there.
Which one, Eberhard?
You mean is and write in.
Which number?
In that the transfer is mutually agreed, and you write in mutually agreed.
Okay, I'm not sure I retyped that. I think that was a cut and paste. I'll check if the original document has...
Okay, and then to 3.0?
Yes, sir. There we go.
There was something, maybe even a bit in the red, where it said delegations. It said something about delegation when it's supposed to say redelegation. It flashed by so fast. It flashed by so far, so quickly. Here, isn't that 3.2.1? Yes.
Yeah.
Should it not say redelegation here?
Yes. Cut and paste got me. I'll correct that one.
Well,
I think it's actually also a good idea to, when one has a little, when one picks something up, to just blast a number onto the chat screen so we know what issues we have to go through. I think that's probably going to be helpful.
Okay. Where were we? ICP1 got done. 3.5, IANA reports got done. Current manager approval. We had just finishing. And we were on 3.7, significantly interested parties or community support. We've got what RFC 1591 says, what News Memo 1 says, what ICP1 says, what the GAC Principles 2005 say, what Understanding Delegation Redelegation Procedure says. And we've got the request from the April 22nd, 2010 meeting of the ICANN board to look into this. And then basically we described that, you know, this whole thing is basically very wide open to interpretation and maybe too much so, and we talked about some of the points. And I guess this goes along the lines of what the board has asked the CCNSO, and we conclude that, you know, examining all ANA redelegation reports with respect to community support requirement reveals a great flexibility in interpretation. Some of this flexibility is obviously required by the very nature of these communities, which include significant cultural differences. However, several sections of this report present situations where there was no community support presented for the request, although there was government support, which were recommended by INA and accepted by the board. These decisions indicate a shift from community and government support to government support for the request where community support cannot be demonstrated. This inferred policy shift should be addressed. Sirens in the background, if they could go on mute. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's not even me.
With me. I'm close to the White House. Sorry.
Ah, yes. The sweet sound.
Can we go back to 3.7.3.5?
3735, Eberhardt?
Yeah. What do you mean by saying where there was no community, community support cannot be demonstrated? Does that include wherever communities, where the community was against, where the administrator had the support for it? No, sorry. Where the communities express the opposite of support for the new selected one that the government was supported. Are you following me, what I'm trying to say? Where the government said we want that one, the locals say we want somebody else, and then it was taken over the objectives of the locals. Does this include, are there cases for this scenario that I'm mentioning now?
No, I have not seen that in the document.
Okay.
What I have seen is a lack of documentation of community support, and then the delegation.
And I would propose that we change the word where community support cannot be demonstrated, whereas the community support was or is not demonstrated.
No, I can do that. Okay. Yeah. And then that concludes Section 3, and the recommendation is the same thing, except hopefully I've edited it properly, and instead of using delegation, I use redelegation in the various places. And that's the only change to the recommendation. Mr. Chair, over to you.
Thanks, Benny. I think, again, it's the same recommendation as was in the delegations report. I think we've got to thank you all for pointing out the odd item along the way there that would help tidy up the document, and there's a bit to look at. But in terms of the overall approach and recommendations in this document, does anyone have any comments?
Last paragraph again, it says delegation where it sends redelegation. So we have to go through this with a very fine tooth comb to make sure that all instances for delegation are checked whether it should not read redelegation. Every single one.
You see that in paragraph, the second to last paragraph, second line.
Yeah.
Well, I'll run it through the mill. No problem. Sorry.
Okay. Looking at the document as a whole, is everyone reasonably happy with the way it reads and its conclusion is the right conclusion? In terms of the recommendations. Any objections?
Nope, not from me.
Okay, we'll proceed to make those adjustments, and we have another meeting next week, so we'll hopefully be able to sign off on this document as well next week. It would be really nice, I think, if we could get retirement, delegation, and consented redelegation reports all approved on the call, you know, for the call next week, and therefore published and so on. No other comments or no other input?
Do we have to raise our hand?
No, you can speak.
And if you want to.
Are we going to make any attempt to try to suggest there be a definition of community support? It sounded like that at our last meeting, that somebody wanted to develop that, but...
Well, that's not really the point of these reports. The point of the reports, Dottie, if you'll allow me, Mr. Chair, is really to sort of look at the issues, understand them, and sort of recommend some guidelines. I think once you start going into details of the solutions, we're beyond the remit of this working group. That's my thought anyways, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Benny. I think the discussion, Dottie, from last week was that the CCNSO or the board has agreed to look at providing a better definition rather than something that this working group would do. And I think it was for other purposes relating to IDN, CCTLD delegations. Eberhard has his hand up.
Yeah, but we can make reference that in the document that community support is not defined and therefore subject to interpretation, or that I haven't followed community support now in detail here, whether it's inconsistent, the application of what is supposed to be community support is inconsistent, other than there was a shift away from ISPs. Actually, now as I think about it, you did mention something about that what community support is, so I think we've got it actually in this.
Yeah, well, I think the 3.7.3.5 that you just pointed out, Eberhard, is really saying that there is no consistency in the decision-making relating to community support.
But is it still mentioned as a requirement?
Yes. I mean, we're pointing out that it's outside of ICANN's decision-making process to not include community support.
Keith?
Yes, Becky.
No, this is Youngham.
Youngham, sorry.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if in the cases that Bernie cited, were there cases where community support was clearly demonstrated?
If I may, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
The IANA reports don't go into, rarely go into the detail of the support. If there is good or strong community support, it's noted. And sometimes there is a reference to the actual organizations that gave that support. That's about where it stops.
Does that clarify for you, Youngham?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, it does.
Okay. Okay. Any further questions or observations? I think we're dangerously close to having agreement with the amendments that have been made, so we'll proceed with those and circulate them as early as possible and do a final reading of the uncontested redelegation report on our next week's call.
Keith,
yeah.
This is Bernie. I have one question. We seem to be using two names for this document now. We've been using consented and uncontested. So which one should we use? I don't have a problem with either one.
I would like, with the consent of the incumbent, or with consent, maybe make it. I don't like the contest. The contest just means if nobody responds, it's automatically approved. Whereas without consent or with consent means somebody has to actually say yes. That's what I'm trying to say.
To follow up on that, Eberhard, I have stylistic difficulties with the desire to force this into an adjective. With consent or without consent is nice and plain English. Unconsented, consensual, and so on is artificial. With or without blah.
So are we agreeing that the report should be called Report on the Redelegation of CCTLDs where the
With consent, full stop.
With consent of the incumbent?
I'm happy with that.
No, I would also think, right, with consent and then define what that means.
Well, I think that's what we are doing immediately under...
That is correct.
So, I mean, define it in the notes immediately, then we don't really need to make the title so long. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I don't think it hurts to have a very clear title. In any case, it's quite a substantial document. You don't want to mislead people into reading it when it's not absolutely clear. I think we could all live with a report on the redelegation of CCTLDs with consent of the incumbent.
Okay, I can live with that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'm happy. I've got what I need to do with this document, and we'll turn around afresh in what I hope will be a final version.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think I'm not perceiving that we'll have any problems signing off this report next week, and I hope we're able to. Okay. Can we move along to the progress report? That's report 4, I think, Christina. And just in terms of process, we need to expedite this particular report. I think about what's our publishing requirement on this? Is it next Friday that it has to be published?
Yes, because I think the week after people really start travelling, and you want this out before so people have it before they start travelling. That's the only real requirement.
Okay.
But the sooner the better.
Yes. Okay. Well, if we can review, and if there are some changes, or regardless, we'll put an amended copy to the list for comment, and hopefully just have a sign off on this report on Wednesday's call next week. So, Bernie, do you want to talk us through this?
Maybe it's better for Bart to do it. He was on this one.
Okay. Oh, Bart, for a change of voice, would you like to talk us through it?
Yeah, I think it's... Yeah, I'm not a... you make me presenter. Thank you, Christina. Let me just explain what I've done. Say the introduction is just mostly... an introduction to the order of the document, with the exception of, I would say, since September 2010, this is more a short and brief description of the process we went through, and what the real purpose is of the reports and everything else. So that's the introduction. Progress to date, it follows the same, say, section 1 and 2 are similar and are in fact the same and copied from the first and second progress report, so I will not spend any time on it. Process is, again, part of it is copied from the So from the first, second, third, and fourth paragraph are copied from the second progress report, and this is more. So this is more the notes from the first progress report on what we found in the first first couple of months, so first phase one. This is copied from and summarized from the second progress report. So that was the whole methodology to identify the cases and identify whether they were significantly interesting, etc. And then the last paragraph, in fact, is just a summary of the work we've done until from September this year. Then the second, so this section is more about the activities since September and a more detailed description of the activities since September 2010 and what is the current status. And as you'll see, we anticipate that when we started drafting this one, we anticipate that the report on complex redelegation should be completed by early 2011, so it will not be published before or for the Cartagena meeting. Whether or not the redelegations with consent will be published, that's up to the working group. So, but that can be adjusted. And then going into the activities of Cartagena, again, this is similar to the second progress report when we discussed activities in Brussels, and this is next step after Cartagena. Again, this is similar, so this is again process stuff. And then section three is the this is based, and this is, in fact, this is the same language as in the retirement report as agreed, only it has it's structured a little bit differently, so without all the numbers in front of it, but it's the same language and the same text. And the recommendations, these are the literally the recommendations as in the retirement report. And with regard to the delegations, I need to check. This is, again, similar to the delegations report that was just approved, but that needs to be adjusted to the final one after approval on the list. Again, only readjustment of the issues, of the numbering, the issues and the language is similar. And then recommendations, again, is the last draft recommendation of the delegation report. And then going back to section five, and this is, as you see, this is tentatively included and depending on the outcome of the discussions over the next week, whether or not to include the issues and the recommendation. That's a very high-level overview of the progress report.
Thanks, thanks, Pat. Are there any questions? Can people reflect on the acceptability of this as a progress report?
Are they typing errors?
Yes, they possibly are.
Yeah, no, sorry. If we make a progress report, it should be, the language should be correct, the typing should be correct.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Ebert. You're quite right.
Yeah.
It says at some stage there will be one work group meeting
plural when it's not supposed to be plural, things like this. Upper casing, lower casing, spaces before comma. If you provide a report that we hand in, it should look good. It should not only be good, it also should look good.
No, I completely agree.
Yeah, I think this was put together.
For example, the subject, the subject line, draft recommendations, currently redelegation process. That's not proper English. With regards to or in something. You understand? Not using the abbreviation, which makes it difficult for non-native speakers to understand what it means. Things like this.
Yep.
Lesser technical.
I think we all agree that it needs a strong effort, but the important thing was to get the thrust of the progress report out in front of you for your consideration as being a, whether you think it's a fair and balanced report. If you are agreed that it's approaching things in the right way, then severe editing will follow.
Sure. I'm not trying to be difficult or to something. Content is quite acceptable, but I like when we hand out the report, even if it's interim or progress report, it should look like at least as good as some other reports that other working groups have done, so that also the first impression is important.
Fully agree, and there was no intent to try and serve this in its current form. It was merely to give the working group a chance to have input into the methodology rather than the detail. And I'm hoping that everyone is agreeing that it's the right approach and makes sense and provides a reasonably concise report from the work we've done.
Keith, this is Bart. This was done in order to get this out as soon as possible after the next call. And so we first had to edit all what was first needed was the whole editing of the final report or the report itself, and then send this out. What I suggested before sending this out to the list again for further discussion, that we do a round of edits, and that can be done tomorrow. So you'll have it by late tomorrow my time, on the list again. So that will be the next version.
Thanks, Bert. Okay, any other comments relating to this report? If not, could we move along? And I think we do have some time, so we'll continue working on the progress report. We'll get it to the list, and with the time constraints against us, it would be much appreciated if any comments could be made on list rather than waiting for next week's call, so that we can have the tidiest possible report for next week's call. Okay, now last week we started a discussion on the complex redelegation report, and Christina, if we could now put that document up, I think it's document 5. I know Eberhard objected to the limited time to have to discuss this report. I think it unlikely that we'll get through this particular report in just 2 readings, as in today and next week. So it's likely to be a work in progress till after Cartagena as well. But notwithstanding that, given that we do have some time, Bernie, would you like to walk us through this document?
Yes, sir. We've still got to obviously fix the title of the document, and we will do that. As Eberhard said, I use complex because, it's a placeholder, and it does describe in general terms what was going on. There, this report actually, as Nigel pointed out, covers all the things that are not covered in the other report, and maybe that's what we should call this report. But that's a discussion we can have. So, however, the definition in the note is, I think, okay, in that complex redelegations are defined for the purposes of this report as any redelegation that was undertaken without the available documentation clearly stating that the CCTLD manager or administrative contact approved the redelegation. This includes cases of contested redelegations as well as other types. And what that means, just to be clear, is sometimes there is no documentation signifying the incumbent approved, and sometimes there is clear documentation that the incumbent did not approve. So we're trying to deal with those two cases. Section 1 should actually be fairly similar to the other redelegation section and actually to the format we've done. So we've got RFC 1591, NUSMA 1, ICP 1. What we do here that is slightly different is we look into the things about unapproved redelegations, and we highlight GAC principles, 2005, and again, it's the same format that we usually do. Oops, I noticed that our font's wrong there. We just list the facts, and we move on. CO, we've got security and stability. I didn't feel we needed to go into the whole community support thing again. I think we did that very well in the previous document, so I considered it dealt with. Under inferred, we've got the .au redelegation.
Just before you continue, Eberhardt has his hand up. So while we're at this point in the document, Eberhardt.
You mentioned .co redelegation now here, and you mentioned it in the consented delegation document.
Yes.
Should it not be in I'm just wondering, should it not be in only one? It cannot be contested and non-contested, or with consent and without consent.
Yeah, .co is noted as a case, in section 1.1 as a decision that has implications, and as its own item in 1.2. So .co is considered in two fashions. .co is, as its own specific case, is only referred in section 1.2 of the consented redelegation documents. You will not find it in section 1.2 of this document, but you will find it in section 1.1 of this document because the security and stability decision that went with it. I don't know if that makes any sense.
I was just thinking, you remind me a little bit of Martin Boyle. That means I need an executive summary of what you're trying to say. I personally feel, for clarity, a case can only be in one of the two documents. It's either in the consented or in the unconsented, for lack of another word, document. I would really remove it from one and put it only into the other. I don't really mind into which, but that's an issue that would be as an unsuspecting user confuse me.
Okay, thank you. I'll note that and I'll look into it. L. 1.2 inferred. We've got the .au redelegation. We list the information, and there is no documentation that the manager of the .au CCTLD approved the transfer. The .ke redelegation.
And the administrative contact also not?
Well, I believe they were all one, and that's described in the documentation.
Yeah, but the point is we're distinguishing between them in other documents, so I would make this point consistently.
Okay, thank you. .ke, just going backwards here a bit, where we've got those facts again. And our next case is .uz, mainly because the there is a note in the ANA report that the admin contact was no longer acting as an admin contact. The .ky redelegation for Cayman Islands, where the manager and administrative contact resigned and did so publicly. The .md redelegation, which was a long, sad story involving bankruptcies in U.S. courts, and it's unclear if there was an administrative contact and how it was recognized. The .ly redelegation, yes, I take your point, Eberhardt, and I might just leave it into this one, where there was a July phase with no information and then an October phase. The .iq redelegation, where we're unclear what point the IANA report was trying to make as a basis for redelegation. It does talk about the fact that the report, the domain wasn't really registering domains, wasn't working properly, and then there's the issue that the admin contact was in jail on terrorism charges. The .cx...
Can I come in on that one?
Yes.
Brunner, who I don't usually agree with, Williams Brunner, made a comment about this.
Yes, he did.
Is this incorporated in this?
No, it's not, because his comment was about the Geneva Convention, and that is...
Didn't he say something about that, something like estoppel? I mean, if the U.S. government puts him in jail, the U.S. government can't say we can't reach him or something.
I think to the... I spent a lot of time on this, and I went backwards and forwards on various things, and I think the fair thing to do, two things. In 1.2, I'm just talking about the facts. I'm not talking about
Okay, then you can carry on. We talk about it later then.
.cx redelegation is just because supposedly there was no longer an admin and technical contact. The .so redelegation, that famous Somalia redelegation, which was by all accounts really ugly. And that completes section one. I'll take any questions or comments at this point.
Nobody has their hand up at this stage, Benny. No questions from anyone online? No? Please continue.
Okay. 2.1, RFC 1591, standard. In support of redelegations without manager approval, we document what's there and we comment it. And that famous language will only in cases where the designated manager has substantially misbehaved would IANA step in. And then there is a clause that if you're not doing a satisfactory job operating the domain, clear statement, they can step in. It's just not clearly defined what satisfactorily means. News memo number one, adds the consideration of the desires of the government of the country into the mix, as we all know. ICP-1, the first few things are standard. 2.1.3.4 is where it gets interesting. It's unclear, it's vague on if it applies to redelegations without manager approval and completely open of how it should be applied. Very artfully almost used the language in RFC 1591, but essentially the thing here is that it leaves out the misbehaved part completely. So basically what it says in ICP 1, in which is 2.134 we're talking about here, is basically removing the misbehaved section means that, as far as I can see, IANA can make the decision on any grounds it wants, which is a significant increase in power. But we don't notice it really, because misconduct, which is sort of misbehaved, gets shoved into the next clause, which then also says that violation of any policies in RFC 1591 or this is cause for revocation. So, again, quite a bit of an expansion.
And, of course, quite unilateral without any input from any of the affected parties.
That is correct. And I think I make that point in Section 3. Mm-hmm. Act Principles 2005, standard stuff. We've done that before. IANA published description of processes and procedures for redelegation of CCTLDs. Really does not contain any information about what goes on when the incumbent doesn't approve, or details about what happens if things get messy, and, you know, that's an issue. CO is about the security and stability factor for redelegations now. 2.2, the cases we studied. .au, failure to reply to an IANA request considered approval. I think that's dicey. In the .ke case, it's sort of weird, because we've got a clear opposition from the incumbent. And then we've got some new definitions in the IANA report. Under the IANA policy, CCTLD redelegation requests are measured primarily by two yardsticks, technical competence and the views of the local internet community, which sort of just appears all of a sudden. This is now the new rules. It's unclear how this justification maps into the rules, which allow for unapproved redelegation of a CCTLD, and we go through the logic, and I'm not going to do the detail thing, but basically it's just really not obvious how this maps into RFC 1591, News Memo 1, or ICP 1. But that's part of the problem with this. And we go through in great detail to detail what happens here. The .ly, complete lack of documentation and IANA report is an issue when you're going to redelegate a domain, even if it's a temporary or whatever term they use. Under the section of other complex cases, the .uz redelegation, all of a sudden we say, well, there's no longer a valid administrative contact, yet there's no published information what happens when there's no longer a valid administrative contact. I mean, it seems to sort of be, if IANA says there's no longer a valid administrative contact, then if we're in a redelegation section, it means IANA can decide to do what it wants. That's what one can infer. But there's no documentation on this, and it's not really clear. At least there's no public documentation. I should say that we all know that there is some internal IANA documentation. But again, these reports are working on what's public, and from a public point of view, it's a bit of a can of worms around saying there's no longer a valid administrative contact and what the processes and procedures that should gravitate around that imply.
Before you move forward,
yes,
the issue in 2314, issue is an issue. I don't think that makes much sense. The issue of how blah, blah, blah is an issue. It's not good English.
Okay. I will fix that. Thank you. .ky, third documentation that the then administrative contact removed himself. Again, there's no procedure for saying what you do. I mean, you know, does IANA make itself?
So, another typing error. 2322, it should read when there is no administrative contact.
Yes, correct. The .md redelegation?
There is a space between the .dot and the .md.
Okay, I'll fix that. Complex situation, blah, blah, blah. Again, it's just a messy case. .IQ redelegation, which we were talking about previously. Unclear if the unapproved domain redelegation was granted because the administrative contact was in jail. There were significant technical problems, or because he was considered as having misbehaved, given he was imprisoned on terrorism charges. The IANA report is unclear on what grounds it proceeded with an unapproved redelegation. Documentation of unapproved redelegation must be clear and complete and properly make the case to support such a decision. This is what I wrote, Eberhardt, and I know this one was of interest to you, so I can take some comments now on that if you want.
So since I have my hand up, I will comment. What you mean in the first half of the sentence, it was granted because the administrative contact was in jail. Does that mean he was unavailable to be contacted, or because he was as a punishment, so to say? What do you mean by that?
In 2341, what I'm saying is, from the IANA report, it's really unclear. The IANA report, you know, makes a big point about the admin contact being put in jail on terrorism charges, makes the point of the domain being poorly run, not taking registrations. And, you know, so there's a bit of this laundry list of stuff, and we don't get any clear sense, or at least I didn't, of why the domain was being redelegated, because then it falls again, it could fall again into this situation where IANA decides there's no valid administrative contact and therefore seems to take over management of the domain almost.
What I'm trying to find out is you make two cases here, unclear if or. The if part of it means it's unclear whether it was granted because the administrative contact was in jail and couldn't be reached, or because it was considered as having misbehaved because he was in jail, for which he then was put in jail for cause, and that cause would be considered misbehavior. Are you following me?
I see.
Okay, let me try again. He was in jail. Now, there is two things. We could say because he was in jail, they couldn't reach him. Not reaching him or not answering means he can't reply. That means it's consent, like it's approval, like in the AU case. Or prima facie evidence as somebody sitting in jail constitutes proof of misbehavior. In other words, if my government arrests me, I have misbehaved, and the domain can be taken away for cause by IANA.
Yes, that's the point I'm trying to make, and as I'm listening to you, I note that I'm not making it very well, so I can clarify that.
Yeah, it's Nigel.
Nigel.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm not on the connect, so I have to try and put my oar in at the appropriate point. I'd like to concentrate a little bit more about this being in jail business, because there's there's two aspects of this, and I'm not talking about the IQ case. I'm talking about the issues that arise from some of the things that have been mentioned in context of it, if you see what I mean. First of all, Eberhardt talks about because somebody's in jail. Well, people can be in jail and not be convicted. In fact, people can be in jail for quite some time and not be convicted.
That's a fair point,
So that's the first point. So if this guy was in jail for something that was relevant to the management of a CCTLD, that would constitute misbehavior if he'd been convicted and if he'd exhausted all his appeal routes.
Yep.
That's what I'm suggesting.
Not even that. In some countries, this is dicey.
Okay, that's my first suggestion. The second point is this, however. If somebody is in jail for something that is completely unrelated to their management or stewardship of a top-level domain, then I would suggest it is actually wrong and to deprive them of their position. For example, supposing I'm driving down the street and I knock over and kill somebody, and I kill somebody because it's my negligent driving, and they send me to jail for 3 months. Does that constitute substantial misbehavior in the context of a CCTLD? I think not.
That's absolutely right. But I think the point here that Bernie's making is that it's unclear on the grounds that the redelegation was granted. And I wonder if the wording might be improved by going to because the administrative contact : bullet point was in jail bullet point or there were significant technical problems bullet point or because he was considered as having misbehaved given he was imprisoned on terrorism charges.
I mean, you can only take the IONA report on its face and say that is the purported reason. You can then examine how those reasons stand up, but you can't do both at once.
Yeah, but then I think 2.3.4.2 goes on to say that the grounds are actually unclear.
They don't stand up.
Keith, this is an extremely important issue.
Yep.
Not before IQ. That's done deal, and we don't mess with countries that have nuclear weapons, even if we can't find them. This is an extremely important issue for other cases. Let's say Myanmar, Burma. You just sneeze and they arrest you, and that puts you in the house arrest for 15 years. And that's one thing. But the U.S. government arresting somebody and then saying we can't reach him because he's in jail, in my country, we have a terrorism or secessionist style trial going on for 11 years now. People sitting in jail for 11 years, and it looks like that some of them will get less jail time than they have been in. And so in many jurisdictions, military coup d'etats happen every day. There was one in Madagascar this morning or something. And so this is extremely dangerous territory that IANA is going on. And that is something that we really have to... I'm not saying that we must necessarily say that IQ shouldn't have happened. That's beside the point. We must clearly point out that this is... We must more clearly point out that this is an important issue that really needs to be looked at for future cases.
Well, I think that is exactly Bernie's point. 2.3.4.2 second sentence says documentation of unapproved redelegation must be clear and complete and properly make the case to support such a decision. I don't think we could be any more clear than that.
We can.
Well,
we have been on this hype. Remember, Chris and you and I, we were on this hypothetical there in Wellington. And I was making fun of 007 at ICANN.org. Yeah? The incumbent, especially if he or she has been doing a good job for many, many years, deserves some form of protection and consideration. So the more I read this, I don't like what Bruno Williams writes most of the time, but the more I read this, This is an extremely important issue to somebody who has lived in a colonialized country with curfews and being listened to on his telephone calls and things like this. This is really goes to the fundamental cause of some beliefs that I have as far as what democracy and freedom is concerned. This is really very, very serious, and I cannot make my point more strongly that this is. I never really figured this out unless I started to think about some other things about that I can come in explain to you next week. This is something that we put more strongly, more clearly.
Well, I think we're in danger of getting into political statements if we do. To me it reads quite clearly. But if you'd like to work on some wording, Eberhard, and put it to the list for us all to consider, we could consider an alternate clause to these two that are currently there. But so please consider that.
Okay, Bernie and I work on this.
Eberhard, could I just ask a question? If we just added something that said the IANA report is unclear on what grounds it proceeded with an unapproved free delegation, and it is therefore not possible to determine that whether or not this was consistent, with appropriate. I'm trying to help articulate what's missing from this statement.
I love it when very experienced senior lawyers start struggling with some concepts like this. This is not something that we can resolve now. Bernie and I can work on it. We have done this in the past, and we come usually up with some good proposals that usually I and then most often also the list can live with.
Okay.
Why don't we do it again, that Bernie and I work on it, we come up with some language that is acceptable to everybody.
Okay.
That's exactly what I was going to propose. Thanks, Eberhard. What I should say, I'll close off my comments on this clause with this, is 2.3.4 went from two pages for me to these two paragraphs. So I have struggled with it. After this discussion, I think I found a middle ground. It's become clearer for me. So I'll hack something together tomorrow morning, Eberhard, and send it to you, and then we can start beating up on it and see if it circles the square or squares the circle, whatever.
And please copy Becky, because I think some proper legal mind here may be helping.
Okay, we'll do.
And can we list your help to Becky on this?
Absolutely. I will attempt not to be incoherent. even if I am senior.
Okay, moving right along. We have about 10 minutes left for this call.
Okay, thank you, sir. CX redelegation, not a major issue. The .so redelegation, and we run through the reasons that there are problems here. Again, part of the problem is things are too fuzzy, and it's unclear. And we're not saying that IANA makes bad recommendations. It's just when you plow through this with an eye to understanding the processes that go on, the stuff that's documented, you end up with the situation that, it all falls back in IANA's lap to deal with this and make a lot of judgment calls. And I guess the basic point we're trying to ask is, we understand that the way John Postel used it, and used it very wisely, and no one argues with that. And in most of these cases, IANA uses it very wisely also. I guess the basic question we're asking is it time to move on from such fuzzy definitions which place an immense burden on IANA in making these decisions to something that is more defined and provides more stability in interpretation?
Yeah, it's part of accountability and transparency, isn't it?
Yeah. So we finish off with the SO case, and then we get into the issues. Fair and consistent.
Can we have one more question?
Yes, sir.
I am missing the pitcairndy.pm case. Did we agree to leave this out?
As far as I'm concerned, we did after our discussion on the list where Nigel said, well, listen, the incumbent finally agreed to the transfer. The second reason that I left it out is technically most of that went on before ICANN came into existence anyways.
Yeah, but it was decided under ICP1, and that makes it on point. And it also raises the specter of what does consent mean. So I'm not sure really yet whether we should leave it out.
Well,
we don't need to finish this today on the call. We can still think about this.
Yeah, I've made my call to leave it out, and as usual, I'll be glad to defer to the group.
Yep, I think I reached the same conclusion as Bernie. My weighing of Pitcairn was: did it add any more, or did it? Did this report lose anything by its non-inclusion? And I don't think it does, given that the conclusion that we're currently getting to is consistent with the recommendations elsewhere. But, of course, that could change. So I think let's do as Eva has suggested and keep it under observation. Nigel?
Yeah. Somehow get into what consent means, or so, then I don't have a problem. But I think I'm looking at it not from any other thing of that just say, okay, pressure was applied on the incumbent and he in the end gave in. That opens the door to some other haunting scenarios.
Yeah.
So that makes it very relevant for this group, and I'm not forcing the issue now, but we should actually keep this. Spend some more thought about it from that aspect.
Yep, fair comment. Nigel?
Yeah, thank you. I wondered how it was that Nigel was spelled E-B-E-R-H-A-R-D, but never mind. I would actually welcome the opportunity to include a thorough dissection of ICANN's behaviour in the .pn redelegation, and to highlight the immense non-objectivity and make-it-up-as-you-go-along-itis. But I don't think it would be productive. First of all, I think I'd have to withdraw from this group during that discussion because there's no way I could be objective about it. But more importantly, it is kind of complex because a lot of it went on not only when before ICANN came into existence, but while John Postel was still alive. And I think we've kind of drawn a line which sort of almost, I wouldn't say intentionally, but coincides at John's passing. You know, what happened pre that date was the dawn of time, magic from, in fact, that was the dawn of time, and what happened pre that time was magic from before the dawn of time, and what happened after that time was ICANN, green paper, white paper, etc., etc., etc. So it does straddle that that time period. And one thing that I will mention in passing is that this business in News Memo 1, which talks about the desires of government in a transition. I won't say it was triggered by the PN dispute, but I think it was certainly that John had it in mind when he wrote that, and probably had several other situations in mind. On balance, I don't agree with Eberhardt on this. On balance, I think it would require a lot of discussion and a lot of examination, and I think we can get to the same conclusions from evidence that we've got from plenty of examples since. But if it was the decision of the group to examine PN in detail, I certainly wouldn't object, but I just don't, I kind of agree with Keith and Bernie on this one.
I think,
as I said, I'm not interested in it from a revisionist aspect. I'm only interested in it from as far as coercion was or is concerned, as far as what constitutes consent.
Yeah, but Eberhardt, if you're going to do that,
let me finish.
No, yeah, but it's important.
If we can bring this in somehow, in another way, we don't have to examine the PN. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, the issue is the practicalities. I know where you're going, and I actually would like us to examine this issue of consent and informed consent and so on. But in order to do that using the PN example, you would basically have to interview the actors concerned. And that's practically impossible, given the situation down on the island.
But they're all on
job. we haven't gone into that much detail. We can just say it raises the issue. It raises an issue, and write it in the report if necessary as a footnote. But maybe we can find a way of getting that in somehow, then we don't have to deal with PN.
Well, I think we've got substantially greater reference in our research documents. This is just seeking to draw a conclusion from that research. So if anyone was studying back through this document and wanted more, we do have more information there. But let's just keep it under observation and see if it's relevant to where this particular report's trying to take us.
This is Bernie.
Yeah.
In the now consented redelegation report, the previous one or two ago we did, I raised the whole point of consent and how it's captured by IANA as an issue. And part of that was around Eberhardt's discussion. And I just wanted to note that.
Yep, fair enough. We have very little time left on this call. Can I suggest we expedite the reading of what's left? I think the analysis is reasonably straightforward, please could we rush through, Bernie?
Yeah, everything is pretty standard. There's nothing unexpected here. The point I do try to make, which is interesting, is ICP-1 does not incorporate the guidance provided by the GAC 2005 principles. Failure to reply as an approval just doesn't make sense to me. It's really some form of institutional justifying oneself. IANA processes and procedures for contested redelegations just all over the place, obviously. And I think if we gather up everything, it just needs to be handled better in a context where you list the things that need to be listed and you answer some questions. There's obviously been some reports, by that I mean IANA reports, that have been obviously very tricky to write before they've been published. And, you know, I sympathize greatly, but sometimes it borders on obfuscation as to what's been put in there. Public IANA reports are inconsistent with clearly presenting redelegation requests are approved or not. Application of the GAC 2005 principles. I think I start to go through the details about why things are important and how they relate to what we've been talking about. And one point that should interest and is relevant to the IQ discussion we had is 3.7, IANA versus local law and legislation for a CCTLD. And the point that I simply make here is IANA needs to clarify the impact of local to the CCTLD laws and legislation in its evaluation of contested redelegation requests, which is a small statement, but is, as far as I'm concerned, having worked my way through this over the last year and some, this summarizes a lot of things for me. And then we end up in point four, which is the standard recommendation, and hopefully I will have to, well, not hopefully, but I will make sure to go through it and make sure we've replaced the right words all over the place. That's it, Mr. Chair. Over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Benny. Nigel, is your hand still up, or is it up again? Nigel?
Hello?
Nigel.
Yeah, I didn't even realize I'd still got... There we go. Thank you. Found it now.
Eberhard.
I think from what I've read so far, we need a PDP. We don't... For contested redelegations, we need a PDP.
Okay, that's your feeling.
But I'm not voting yet.
Yeah, no, I can see why. Okay, I think let's not try and resolve the recommendation now, but in terms of the rest of the report, other than the issues raised along the way, is there anything else that anyone has to add? Are we reasonably happy with everything except the recommendation?
Another draft before Monday afternoon, let's say 15 UTC.
Yep, let's aim for that and see what we can do. As I say, I'm
no, for me, it's really important. I probably have to travel on Monday for a few days. Will not be able to make the call. So I would like on the plane to work through the latest draft and can send in some stuff to the list.
Yep. I think, look, let's do what we can, and as I said earlier, I'm doubtful that we'll get this report to the stage that we can actually conclude anything to take it forward to Cartagena, and I don't think we should rush it to try and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need an orderly, timely approach to this particular report. So I think we should probably cease the discussion there. We'll redraft as soon as possible, and we'll keep it on our agenda for discussion on next week's call, but not with any determined effort to try and finalise it. We'll continue to work on it until we're happy with it, if that suits everybody.
If we can agree that we can let it stand over for our after cut again, then it's really not a problem. That gives us enough time to resolve all our differences, that we can come to a consensus on this one too.
Yeah, look, I'm quite happy as chair to make that decision and just say that I don't believe the working group is in a position to truly finalise this by Cartagena, and that I don't want us to do it under stress or pressure, that we need to take our time. So I'm quite happy to make the call now and say we'll continue to work on this document next week, but with a view to finalising at some point after Cartagena.
Okay, that's very helpful.
Okay. Okay, well, I think this meeting's been most productive and most useful, and I think we've made significant progress along the way. Our next meeting is scheduled for Wednesday next week. Remember that it's Thanksgiving on Thursday, so we've brought it up. And I did ask Bernie in the minutes or the meeting record from last week that we had the time 2200 UTC on that report, but I think correctly noted in the schedule for our call for 2100 UTC on November the 24th. So let's confirm it for 2100 UTC, and we'll look to finalise the uncontested, unconsented, the consensual redelegation report and the progress report, and have a second look at the contested redelegations report. Okay, other than that, does anyone have any other closing comments? I'm sorry this meeting's gone 5 minutes over time, but thank you all for your participation, and we'll talk to you all again on Wednesday next week. We'll get redrafts circulated as soon as we can. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. Good night.